team. And I told Dwayne a long time ago, I said, I want you to worship till we break through. I don't want us to have a time frame on it, because you know how much worship is too much worship. How much forgiveness is too much forgiveness? Oh my goodness. Hebrews 7:25 says he's able to save us to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for us. Romans 8:26 said the Spirit himself helps our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray like we ought to. But he makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Whew. I want to just build your faith for a moment. We're going to talk about Jacob in a moment, but I want to build your faith, because I believe that God is bringing us into in a time, and I don't want to say a season, because, you know, when you read Psalm 1, it said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall not wither. His fruit shall remain. And whatsoever he puts his hands to do will prosper. Do you understand? Those are promises. And the Holy Spirit's come to be our champion, teacher, and comforter. I was telling Miss Cindy, he's a genius. And I always want you to know that I have help when I'm here, but I want to build your faith, because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. When you look at the goodness of God, two things I believe that we need to understand: the goodness of God and your beloved identity, how beloved you are. I believe that we're living in a world where people are, that they have this idea of being orphaned. Even with their own parents, they feel like orphans. And they need a connection and they need some kind of affirmation. But I want to encourage you today, because you are unique. You're an individual, over 8 billion people in the world, and nobody has the same thumbprint that you have. In your whites of your eyes, this little roadmap of capillaries, nobody else has the same pattern that you have. Your dental plan, thank the Lord for mom. She took me to dentist when I was growing up, and I still got all the main ones. So when you think about lifting your hands, he knows exactly which one you are, who you are. When you begin to look at Psalm 121, it says, I will look into the hills from whence cometh my help. He knows who's looking in his direction. When you open your mouth to praise, he knows whose praise is coming up into his hearing, and he takes great delight in that. So Psalm 34:10, right? The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Look at somebody and tell them good things. Psalm 84:11 says, the Lord God is the sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. Look at somebody else and tell them good thing. Psalm 103:1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless the Lord. That's not what he can do for me. That's what I can do for him. Come on. One of the few things I can do for him is bless him. I pray every day. I said, Lord, let my living be a blessing to you. Because, Lord, this life that you gave me is not mine. It's yours. And, Lord, what an adventure. It says, bless him and forget not all his benefits. He forgives me of all my iniquities, past tense. He heals me of all my diseases. He delivers my life from destruction and crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Come on, you understand, that's not what goes in your mouth. That's what comes out of your mouth. He satisfies my mouth with good things, So I declare I'm blessed and highly favored, that I'm prosperous and my pathway is growing brighter and brighter every day. Then he didn't stop there. When you find the goodness of God over in Matthew 7:11, this is Jesus. He said, if you being evil, now that word evil is a poor translation. It means limited. Know how to give good things to your children. How much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good things to those who ask him? Then he didn't stop there. You go over to Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who started a good work in you. He who started a good work in you. Come on, you didn't think you started this thing by yourself, do you? He who started a good work in you will complete it, perfect it till the day of Jesus. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you because he's willing, and to do his good pleasure. I used to think God was quite ticked off at me because I could never measure up to the standard I was taught I had to meet. If you do this, God will love you more. No, that's such a lie. His love is so constant, it never changes and never wavers. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. Verse 16 says God is love. Then you go to James 1:17. It says this, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. And I used to think, well, does that mean he's the Father of the sun and the moon? No, he's the creator of those. To be father means to be pater, one who takes responsibility for you. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Then in Matthew 5, he says, you are the light of the world. The Father of lights. Come on. With whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. First John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we'll be, but we know when he appears, we'll be like him, for we're going to see him as he is. You understand, whatever you focus on, you begin to be attracted to. Whatever you focus on, you will become. Come on, it's important to know that the word of God has power. And I want to talk about Jacob. Pray for him, because they got another ocean to put in a thimble. And it's amazing, because I know it's going to be encouraging to you. It's really going to be encouraging. And it's going to build your faith. And I believe the Holy Spirit is here to really pull us in to this understanding of who he created us to be. And when you look over in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, I'm going to start with this because I believe it's necessary. Remember, Isaac and Rebekah had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was really loved by his father because he loved wild game. And Esau was, he was probably more of a type A personality maybe. He was out hunting and he would always bring his dad something. Jacob was favored by mom, and he knew how to cook. My mom, I tell people, mom taught me how to cook just in case I married a woman who couldn't. I can make some mean biscuits. My wife, she can throw down, I'm telling you. Thank God for her. So when you think about Isaac and Rebekah, they had two sons, Jacob. This is the story in verse 29 of chapter 25, the Passion Translation. One day when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau returned from hunting, and he was famished. Smelling the aroma of food, Esau said to Jacob, I'm starving. Let me eat some of that stuff you're cooking, that red stuff. This is why he's called Edom, means red. Yes, but you, Jacob says, first you got to trade me your birthright. Jacob replied, can't you see I'm dying of hunger? Esau said, what good is the birthright if I'm dead? Jacob insisted, first swear to me that you'll give it to me, your birthright. Do you understand? The firstborn had the birthright of, they're so much connected to being the firstborn. I don't want you to forget that. I want you to think about that. There's so much connected, so many benefits to being the firstborn. And he says, can't you see I'm dying of hunger? Esau said, what good is the birthright if I'm dead? But Jacob insisted, first swear to me that you'll give it to me. So Esau swore an oath and surrendered his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some lentil stew and bread. When Esau had finished eating and drinking, he just got up and walked away. He cared nothing about his own birthright. This is the right of the firstborn. He would inherit a double portion of the father's goods, twice as much as the younger siblings inherit, two-thirds, if you would. Jacob now rightly possessed the rights and blessings of the firstborn, which included authority, headship, a double portion of the inheritance, and the right to be the priest of the family. Now, if you go over to Exodus 3, God identifies himself to Moses as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is significant because as the God of Abraham, he's the God who fulfills promises. As the God of Isaac, he's the God of inheritance and the God of miracles. As the God of Jacob, he's the God of transformation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when you think about this transformation, he would become Israel, a prince with God. And when you think this would require a miracle, but this miracle promise releases true transformation to all of us. How many know Jesus was the firstborn? When you get born again, do you know you are the firstborn? How much inheritance do you get? A double portion. Oh, I'm about to shout now. I want to encourage you. Let's go over to Genesis 32. Now remember, Jacob not only takes his brother's birthright, he also, through deception, receives his father's blessing because his mom tells him to, she kills a kid, a goat, and they take the lentil, that stew to the dad, and he promotes himself as Esau. Esau hadn't come in from the field, so he puts the goat skin on his arm, so his dad's got his poor vision. He can't really see, but he said, you smell like Esau, you feel like Esau, and this stew's pretty good. So he blessed Jacob when the blessing was intended for Esau. Now, at this point, Esau is furious when he finds out. And we're going to go over to Hebrews 12, 16 in just a moment and tell you how that Esau despised his birthright and how he initially really despised the blessings of the Lord. He really didn't care about the blessings of the Lord. He was very carnal in nature. And so Jacob is fleeing because Esau swore he was going to kill him. After the blessing, his mom got his stuff together and he was on the run. He was a fugitive from his brother. And at some point during this time away, remember Jacob goes to Laban and Laban deceives the deceiver. God is not mocked. Galatians 6, 9. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. I believe it's more than that. I believe it's all of that, but also the mentality of Jacob, because he was named Jacob, which means deceiver or supplanter. The Lord's about to change some things. So he's running from his brother, and he hears, gets word that Esau is headed in his direction. And the Lord had spoken to Jacob. He said, I want you to go back home. And he's fearful because he knows the last time he left home, Esau was going to kill him. So he's acquired all of this wealth because the blessing of Abraham is now on Jacob. And he has all of this, these blessings, and he begins to plot. And verse 22 says, during the night, Jacob, of Genesis 32, during the night, Jacob arose, woke up his two wives, his maidservants, and 11 sons, and had them cross the ford of the Jabbok River. He sent them across along with everything he had, and Jacob was left all alone. I want to tell you, it's in those moments when there's no distractions, when God can speak his best and get our attention. Those moments when you feel isolated, when you're really not alone, but he's with you. It says, suddenly, out of nowhere, a man appeared and wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he was not winning the match, he struck Jacob's hip and knocked it out of joint, leaving it wrenched as he continued to wrestle with him. Eventually, the man said to him, let me go, for the day is breaking. And Jacob refused, not until you bless me. What is your name? Asked the man. Jacob, he replied. You understand, Jacob means deceiver, supplanter. This name is not, he believes something about himself. But he's about to wrestle with somebody that knows who he really is. Come on, somebody. He says, Jacob, verse 28, not anymore. The man said to him, your name is Israel. For you have struggled both with God and with people and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. Why ask my name? The man replied. Then he spoke a blessing over Jacob. Notice, when he blessed Jacob, he spoke a blessing.
Yes, he did.
With our words, we can speak life or we can speak death. It's important. And I want to show you something. Because Jacob named that place Peniel. I've seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. That word Peniel means face of God. 8 times in the Old Testament you'll find it. I've seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. The sun rose upon him. He crossed the Jabbok River from Peniel, limping because of his hip. Now I want to take you one more place. Hang with me. Everybody okay? Hang with me, we're going somewhere. Hebrews 16. Be careful that no one among you lives in immorality. Become careless about God's blessings, like Esau, who traded away his rights as the firstborn for a simple meal. And we know that later on he wanted to inherit his father's blessing. He was turned away, even though he begged for it with bitter tears, for it was too late then to repent. When you think of Jacob, I believe that Jacob, chapter 35, I got to give this to you. Hang on, we got a few minutes, and I think I can get this ocean in the thimble. God speaks to Jacob again. He said, arise, go at once to Bethel. Remember? And settle there, build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. This is where the ladder reached from heaven to earth. And Jacob said, I was in the house of God and didn't even know it. So Jacob and his household, all were with him, got rid of all the foreign gods. He gets rid of the idols. He gets rid of all the idolatry. Come on, you understand that God said he would have no other gods before him. And it's important. We can worship a lot of things. It don't have to be an image. It can be a part of our lives. It could be something that we esteem greater than this relationship, but I want to show you something. It says that as they made their way to Bethel, a tremendous fear of God fell upon all the cities around them. After they got rid of the idols, Jacob and all the people who were with him arrived in the land of Canaan at Luz, that's Bethel, now known as Bethel. He built an altar there and named it El Bethel because it was the place that God had unveiled himself when Jacob was running from his brother. During that time, Rebekah's nurse, Deborah, died. They buried her under an oak tree near Bethel, and they named the place Weeping Oak. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him once again and blessed him. Notice how many times. So it says, saying, your name was once Jacob, but no longer. Your new name is Israel. God named him Israel and said to him, I'm the God who is more than enough. Go and have many children and then multiply a nation, and a gathering of many nations will come from you, and you'll be the ancestor of kings. I'll give you the land that I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, and after you're gone, to your descendants. Then God ascended into heaven from the place where he'd spoken to him. Jacob set up a pillar of stone to memorialize the place where he had met with God. He poured over it a drink offering and anointed the pillar with oil. Jacob called the place where God had spoken to him Bethel. You understand that Jacob is, when you think about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, remember, he's the God of promises fulfilled. Abraham had received word through the revelation while he's in the land of idolatry. He's in Ur of the Chaldees. Remember, they did child sacrifices. So the Lord speaks to Abram and says, leave everything you're familiar with and follow me. I'll show you where you're going. Yes, come on, it's important to walk. It's a walk of faith. It's not something we walk by faith and not by sight. But let me tell you, you can trust him with your future because you can trust him with the outcome. And it's important to know that Abraham later received the name change because God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Remember? And he's the God of fulfilled promises. At 75, he receives the promise that he's going to have a son. And Sarah is up in age. And we know that he waits. God waits till he's 100 years old. Sarah's in her 90s. And, you know, Hagar was Sarah's suggestion. And Abram, he didn't argue with her. And they had an Ishmael, which represents the law. Religiosity. Come on, you understand religion. There's no word for religion. It comes from a Latin word. The root word is religio, which means to return to bondage. That's why Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Yes. Now, when you think about religion, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And that's what God is doing. He's bringing us back into this relationship where it's not, you know, do you understand the Sabbath day is not really a day anymore? No. It's a person.
Yes, it is.
When you enter into that rest, I'm reminded of Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 that says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yes, sir. Glory.
Woo. Come on, you understand that we find Jacob living according to what he believed about himself.
Right.
He believed that he was a deceiver, so he deceived his brother Esau. He believed that he was a supplanter, so he took his birthright and took the blessing. And he's the younger because you understand the prophecy was given that the elder would serve the younger. And we know that God already knew where they would go, but Jacob is wrestling. He's wrestling with his identity. This is more than a wrestling match between Jacob and the angel. It's more than a wrestling match about just being blessed because The blessing is amazing. The blessing is going to contain something that's going to transform his life. If Abraham is a picture of the God of fulfilled promises, because sure enough, they had a son named Isaac, remember? And then we have Isaac experience the blessing when Abraham sends his servant, his trusted servant Eliezer, out to find a bride for Isaac. He goes and prays at the well, and he said, "Let the woman who comes out to offer my camels." He's got 10 camels, remember? I don't have time to get into it, but let me tell you, those 10 camels were what Abraham came back from the slaughter of the kings with, and he's got the wealth. We find that God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees in chapter 12. By chapter 13, the Bible said Abraham was very rich. Come on, you understand? He had acquired all the blessings of the Lord because God's hand was upon him. No, he wasn't perfect. God's not looking for performance, and he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for permission. Come on. He's looking for somebody to trust him with what he said about you. And I believe that we're coming into an hour where it's not about pride and arrogance. It's about humility, to know he created us in his image. And he gave us, this is what Peter said, that we've been given all things in chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 says we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness because we've been made partakers of the divine nature. Come on, you understand that there's something more to this thing that Jacob's going to experience, because he's not just going to get the blessing, he's about to get his real identity. Hang with me, I feel the preacher in that. He's wrestling with his own identity because he believes something about himself, but God knows something different. How many of us wrestle with our identity because we believe something somebody said? Or we believe something that the environment induced in us, and we believe that's just the way it is, that's who I am. And you understand, I believe that God is bringing us to a place where he's going to reveal who he created us to be. And let me tell you, it's going to be an adventure. It's going to be an amazing. I'm telling you, I never thought, you know, I was raised at the gap of the mountain. I was a kid pushing a lawnmower wheel around on a stick. That was my toy. But I remember waiting. I loved when it rained because I'd get in the ditch and stand in red mud up to my knees, and I'd wade in that mud, and I'd enjoy the journey. I caught the tail end of the wagon, mule and wagon era. I got to ride with a man named Amos. It was my cousin's grandfather, Amos Motes. He had a wagon and a mule named Frank. I got to ride in that thing. Don't see too many of them around anymore. But I had little knowledge of who God had created me for, what he had created me for, and who he had created me to be. I had no idea he was going to send me to 10 different countries. I mean, sometimes he'll call you to places and you'll go kicking and screaming. I did. No. I tell people, you want to make God chuckle, just tell him what your plans are. Because his is so much more epic. It's amazing. I wouldn't trade it for anything, because God has chosen us for such a time as this. And it's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be in the kingdom. It's a great day to be together in church. And let me tell you, your life is about to change, because I believe the Holy Spirit is here bringing a transformational change in our eyes, our identity. And you begin to see it when you look in the mirror next time. I believe God's going to help you to see who he created you to be. Let me tell you, anymore, when I'm looking in the mirror, I'm smiling. It is just me and looking in the mirror, and I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. I see your fingerprints all over this. I know you created me for such a time as this, and my best days are not behind me. I'm like two 33-year-olds and a toddler trapped in a 68-year-old body. And my wife says the toddler shows up more than anything else. But you understand that I'm enjoying this journey, and I'm gonna enjoy the. I refuse to feel like and to act like a possum who spends his night upside down in a stovepipe baptizing in pickle juice. No. He created us for more than that. He wants you to begin to focus. Jacob is wrestling with his own identity. And God's about to show him who he is. That's why he asked him, what's your name? Well, I'm Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm the planner. Not anymore. I'm going to change your name. I find something else that Isaiah spoke 800 years, right? I've talked about this. Let me remind you. Isaiah 62:4. He says, No longer will you be called forsaken. No longer will you feel abandoned. I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to call you Hephzibah. Hephzibah is a powerful Hebrew word. It means my delight is in you. God began to unravel all my wrong thinking. I had to do some research, and I asked, Lord, help me to understand why I believe what I believe. And something else came into my spirit. I believe it was straight from him. I don't want to believe what I believe is right. I want to believe what's right. Come on, somebody. Because Jesus said this in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Jacob's about to be set free. He's about to be set free from being a fugitive. Yes. Come on, I want to tell you something. I counsel those guys at Turning Point every Tuesday. And I've sat with them one-on-one. And they would say, I've been a drug addict for all that. I said, no, you're not. You've never been a drug. Drugs is what you do. That's not who you are. Come on, you understand. No, you're not a drug addict. No, you're not an alcoholic. Come on, no, you understand that God brings us into this knowledge of who he created us to be, and it changes our life forever.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
There's so much confusion. The devil is the author of lies, right? So if he can get us to believe the lie, okay, here we go. Remember, I don't know what time it is, but Adam is in the garden. He is created. His words have authority. He's the first. He has the breath of God. And God brings all the animals to Adam. You know why? Because I believe God's fascinated with his creation that looks like him. Because he wants to see what he's going to name them. Read the account. God didn't give him a list. Because everything that Adam named also, it brought about their own nature. The name contained, Adam had the power to name them and give them their nature. Because he's the creation of the Father. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. So, the serpent. Why did the devil pick the serpent? I think he waited to see what Adam was going to name the snake. Because serpent means deceiver as well. Liar, it means ruthless. So Eve is in the garden and Adam is in the garden, right? And God has told them, don't eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. They had choice because of the love of the Father. And that tree is there because he gave them choice. We all have choices. He said, in the day you eat it, you're going to die. They would disconnect themselves from this relationship that gave them the authority to rule everything God had created, to have dominion, king dominion. He had dominion. So we find the first Adam submitting to the lie of the devil and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good. I like to call it the I am not tree. Because the devil said to Eve, did God really say that? He'll say the same thing to you. He knows that when you eat that, you're going to be like him. You're going to be as gods. Do you understand the word God in the King James Bible is a title? It's not a name. I'm going to help you.
Yes, sir.
I know I might get in trouble, but I don't care. I've been in trouble before. God is a title. If you read in the beginning, God means, it really the name is Elohim, which is Father, Son, and Spirit. In the beginning, Father, Son, and Spirit created the heaven and the earth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You find all three there. Come on, somebody.
Yes, sir.
So you find out that he said, did God really say that? He knows when you eat it, you're going to be gods. And so they ate of the I am not tree. Their eyes were opened, and all of a sudden they became disconnected from who they were intended to be. He put them out of the garden lest they should eat the tree of life and live forever in that condition. He's a genius. He's amazing. So we find down through the ages, down through the years, that I tell people all the time, I said the first couple of your pages of your Bible deals with creation. It's a beautiful picture of the heart of the Father and his desire to have us into his arena of this cosmos. Come on, somebody. It's his heart. Because he goes on in Isaiah 62:4 after he calls us Hephzibah. Come on. He's delighted in you. No, I don't think he's disappointed with you. Yeah, I think that we make choices that disappoint him. But he's not disappointed in you. I can give you an example. Peter, remember Peter? Peter, that loudmouth preacher, right? He's the one who is a type A personality. And he told Jesus, he said, I'm going with you to the cross. And Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you, that your faith doesn't fail. And when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. Jesus did not speak to his failure. He spoke to his future. Come on, that's the heart of the Father. He will never speak to your failure. He'll deliver you from it. And you understand that he never told Jacob, you ought not have did that to your brother. He didn't ever tell him that. He just reminded them of who he saw him to be. What's your name? Jacob? No, you're not. So we find here a beautiful picture. God changed his name. Found out that when Esau showed up, they fell on each other and wept like brothers because God had prepared their hearts for this meeting, and he changed Jacob's name to Israel. So why did Jesus come? He came into our darkness to get us back where God intended for us to be, to give us back our beloved identity. So in Isaiah 62:4, he said, your land will no longer be unfruitful. It won't be barren anymore. Remember Joel 2:28? It shall come to pass afterwards that I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Also upon your servants and handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord. But before he said that, he said, I'm going to restore the years. He didn't say the minutes, the hours, or the days, or even the weeks or the months. He said, I'm going to restore the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the pommer worm, and the caterpillar have eaten. Do you understand? All of those insects will eat a field down till there's nothing but dirt. And the Father says, I'm going to restore the years. I'm going to restore the years. Come on, I want you to be able to see this. It's in the Father's heart to restore the years. Whew. Remember, Jacob's been running from his brother. He shows up at Bethel after he destroyed all the idolatries, and God blesses him again. The name is Yahweh. Abba. He sent forth his spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Hang with me. I want to show you this. Ooh, boy, it's amazing. So Jacob is transformed, and we see his name changed to Israel. Peter, He really has good intentions, but he's struggling with his own self-worth and self-identity. Remember, he goes fishing. When Jesus told him to go and tarry in Jerusalem, he takes six of his buddies. There's seven of them out there in the boat, fish all night, caught nothing. Sun comes up and Jesus standing on the shore. Children, do you have any meat? No, we fished all night. Read the first account of when Peter met Jesus. Same thing happened. Throw your net on the right side. And again, their net began to break because they caught so many fish. They don't fish in daytime. They fish at night so the fish can't see the net. But they caught these in the daytime because Peter didn't know who he was. He thought he was a fisherman. So Jesus showed him where to go, and we find that about that time, John, remember John writes several times about himself, the disciple that Jesus loved? I used to wonder who that was till I found out John wrote that about himself. The Bible says in the account of this instance after the resurrection, John leans over. It don't say John. It says the disciple that Jesus loved leaned over and told Peter, said, "It's the Lord." Peter dives in and swims to shore. What's the difference in Adam's perspective hiding with the fig leaves and Peter swimming? Hallelujah. Toward Jesus. There's something about their perspective. They know something. I believe Adam had a little paintbrush that he painted a picture of a mythical God that was really angry. You know what? Religion has taught us in many ways that Adam had the ability to change God. No, he didn't. No, it's just like, I've heard this saying now. Please don't be offended with me. I've heard people say, well, we just got to make him Lord. If we have the power to make him Lord, then we're in trouble. He is already Lord. He is King of Kings. So you understand that he wants us to come into this relationship. And we find here Peter is discovering something about himself because he lands there and there's a fire. Last time he was at the fire, he had denied knowing Jesus. He became so broken because when the rooster crowed, he remembered the words of Jesus. And what did Jesus do when the rooster crowed? He looked at Peter. Those were not eyes of condemnation. Those were eyes that said, "I love you, Peter." And we find here, Jesus sits down with them, and after they had eaten, he said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know I love you." Second time, Simon, son of Barjona. Now, he gave him a new name. He gave him the name Peter. Jesus is bringing him back to the first time they met. "Simon, son of Barjona, do you love me?" "Lord, you know you love me." Third time. Every time Jesus would say, "Feed my sheep." Talking to the man that denied him. "Feed my sheep." Third time, "Simon, do you love me?" He begins to weep. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my lambs." Whoa. Because that's who Peter was born to be. Do you understand that he creates us in his image and he brings us back into to that image? That place of beloved identity, where Jacob is running. He's running for his life. He's very wealthy, but he's running for his life because he believes something about himself that's not true. I want you to stand with me. Last week on Tuesday, I sat with a man. I won't give you his name. He's been here already. But I'm telling you, the rivers opened up and the floodgates opened. He just wept because he'd been used mightily in ministry. With the name of a guy who's been here years ago. But they got off on the wrong track and somehow got away from what God called them to. And it just fell apart. And this guy became a user and began to believe something about himself. As we sat there, I told him, I said, you're not who you think you are. You're not a failure. And I said, it's not over. And I told him the story of Peter. I said, here's what Jesus told Peter. In essence, what he told Peter, we're right back where we started. And I haven't changed my mind about you. I know you got off track. I just want you to know I still feel the same way about you. And he encourages Peter. He says, follow me. He said that 3 years earlier. But he didn't change his mind. He said it again. Follow me. And I believe today he's in this room in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's here to convince you. Many of you are not who you think you are. I'm not saying this I believe that God is bringing us into this place of beloved identity. Regardless of what happens to us, how many know what happens to you does not define who you are? How many know that what you do does not define who you are? Your perception of who you are determines what you do. But that perception is wrapped up in how you see him. Because once you see him, Isaiah, you thought I forgot about Isaiah 62:4, didn't you? Here we go. Your land will no longer be barren. I'm going to restore the years. You won't be unfruitful. I'm going to call your land Beulah. Miss Cindy, I believe that he say that to you today, that he's married to your journey. That's what that means. I'm married to wherever you put your foot. I'm right there with you on this journey. And you won't be unfruitful. And you won't be barren. But you're going to prosper. Your leaf's going to, it's going to come forth. It's your season. Now, I know the King James says, in its season. That's a mistranslation. It means whatever season you're in, your leaf is going to come forth and your fruit shall remain, and whatever you put your hands to do will prosper. Whew. No matter what season you're in. So I want to ask you this question. Do you know who you are? Have you heard him call you Hephzibah? I'm telling you, it changed my life. When God began to unravel what I thought was right, and begin to show me the depth of this love and this relationship that transformed. I'm telling you, things I struggle with, I quit struggling. I have this peace. I had a young man tell me last week, he said, man, I wish I had your peace. I said, you do? You just got a lot of distractions right now. It's there. So I want to tell you, he's for you. I heard him sing it. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If he spared not his own son, but offered him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Ooh. So I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, I want to come to this, the depth of the revelation of who he sees me to be. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me, to show me. I want him to show me. I want him to lead me in this place where I understand that now I'm the firstborn. Remember, the Bible says he's the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. When we get born again, we become the firstborn. That means we inherit. We have an inheritance. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about him. Because everything else is attached to him. Oh, my. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I feel the richness of your grace in this room. I feel the power of your love. And I pray right now that you'll set free every person that may have a tormenting spirit that may be trying to deceive them and lie to them about who they are. Father, I pray right now the truth would prevail, that your truth, Lord, that they begin to see themselves as you see them, that you're fascinated and you're delighted and you're married to their journey. I pray right now, Lord, bring victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to come. Thank you so much for standing. I know you've been standing a while, but I'm going to ask you to come if you need prayer, if you need me to agree with you right now. There's no formula. It's just believe. Just believe. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on, Sean. What a transformation. He's the God of Abraham. You know, he hadn't changed. He's the God of promises fulfilled. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of miracles and inheritance.